This is the Careering into Motherhood podcast with me, Jane Johnson. My guest today is Claire Vivian Roberts. She is an executive coach and works with women on their careers and their career aspirations, but she also adds health coaching to her remit. And as we head into the school holidays, a period of time when a lot of us will be feeling quite stressed, I think, and when we need to really draw on resilience or grow our resilience. And it's really important to say there that resilience is not about just keeping going and bouncing back and endurance, as you'll hear in a moment. But health coaching, it's something really important that keeps us going during times of stress, looking after ourselves, looking after our own well-being, as well as that of those around us. I'm really looking forward to talking to Claire today. I know she's got lots of great tips, but we're looking at her top five ways of managing stressful times. Claire, now we've known one another for a little while, but I've never actually asked you how you came to specialise in this quite particular area of health and wellbeing leadership coaching. How was it that that came about?
We have known each other for a couple of years now, haven't we? And it's been such a pleasure, honestly. So health and executive coaching, what I notice more and more with my executive coaching clients, particularly women, but not always, was that often they were putting themselves under an enormous amount of stress. And there was also external factors affecting their stress levels and therefore their resilience, their energy, and everything that kind of sits around that. I'd also relate that to my own personal experience of corporate life. I spent over a decade in various big corporates and was always on, plus looking after a young family. And that takes its toll physically and mentally. And I got to a point, I think, a couple of times in my career where I would probably class myself as being kind of burned out. And when that starts to happen, you find that everything else around you really suffers. And so I saw that for myself. I saw that for my clients. I see that for my clients. I really want to help women understand and know some really important strategies and things they can do that will protect themselves. Not just around the practical, tactical tips, but also your mindset around stress and resilience and times where you really are feeling on the verge of a burnout, or you're in a period of kind of continual stress, which can be really quite debilitating if that goes on for sort of a long period of time.
We have this big focus this month on resilience, and our listeners will be either bracing themselves for the summer holidays or in it already. And as we try and juggle everything, kids, work, possibly squeezing in some exercise and the occasional social thing for ourselves, how do we do this without losing our minds or creating something so stressful that we lose ourselves completely and come back after the summer feeling absolutely burnt out? Can we build our resilience, which I know is very different from endurance, and perhaps you might talk about that later as well?
Absolutely that, Jane. I think the summer holidays is actually a great example of a period of quite intense stress for lots of women and some men as well, as we have to juggle everything. I think there's a couple of things I would say about that. You mentioned bracing yourself, and I think with a little planning and a little thinking about that period of time, there are some things you can do ahead of that to make the summer holidays a little bit more stress-free. I think there's also a big piece, and I'll come on to talk about this, around acceptance that actually when things are stressful, when things are tough, that is going to feel hard. And I think lots of women give themselves an incredibly hard time for feeling like it's too much. And it feels like it's too much because it is. And I think actually that's enormously helpful just to know from the outset, as you're going into these periods of continual stress. I would say, generally speaking, and again, this is a generalization, but women are not great at putting themselves and their needs first. And it's a bit of a cliche, but unfortunately, it is still true. And I still see it all the time in my practice. And I would say just a few small tweaks in the way that you're living your life in the run up to the summer could be really, really beneficial. It's never about the huge, big things. It's, for me, I'm a huge believer in small steps and small tweaks to your lifestyle to make things so much better in the longer term.
So what are the signs and what practically can we do to minimise this stress and anxiety and keep things all together?
I mean, there's a few things. So I'd start with acceptance. And that's kind of my sort of first tip, but also I'd say the most important one, in that, as I just mentioned, accepting that when things feel difficult, they probably are. And actually owning that and knowing that, and perhaps sharing that as well and connecting with other friends, peers, colleagues, that can be really powerful. One of the things I see in group coaching, which is quite interesting, is that often a woman will be quite brave and say, actually, I'm feeling really overwhelmed by this thing or the combination of work and family or whatever it happens to be. And once one person kind of puts their hand up and says that, you'll find that the rest of the group start to chip in with a kind of their own stories, sharing their own experiences of that. And I think that can be really helpful and really powerful. There'll be lots of mums at your school who are in exactly the same boat. And actually, maybe just sharing some of that and just expressing some of that can be helpful. So I'd say acceptance, but also just sharing. Maybe giving yourself permission to be a bit vulnerable about that anxiety, about the stress that's coming. And I think it that endurance mindset of like just keeping going, keeping going, keeping going, is something, again, I see all the time. And that's different from resilience. So endurance is just keeping going. Resilience is about, you know, I'm accepting there's a period of a sprint of stress, if you like. But after that, there's going to be some time for rest, relaxation. I'll fill my cup and then I'm back up again, if that makes sense. So the difference there is quite interesting. And I think a lot of women fall into that kind of let's get through things and keep on going, without realizing that that probably is going to have a consequence of feeling pretty crap if they don't just start to think about, well, what about me in all of this? Where am I? And I think that kind of brings me on to something else, and a kind of another tip I would say is that you're right, Jane. You know, often we put these totally unrealistic expectations on ourselves. Again, to use the summer holidays example, I'm going to run my business. I'm going to make sure my child is entertained during the day. I'm going to do holiday clubs. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. It's too much. And one of the things I find quite helpful for myself, but also for clients, is to just write a list of everything that needs doing in that period of time. So let's say it's 6 weeks, all the things that need to happen. What can you delegate? Who can help you? What can you outsource? For instance, can you afford to pay for someone to come and do your ironing for those 6 weeks? It's just a really small thing. But actually, the more that you can take off your plate, the more capacity you're going to have for your children over the summer holiday period. So it's just about thinking, what's the priority here? It's probably, you know, entertaining or looking after my son. So therefore, what needs to shift? What needs to change? And is it something like someone else doing the cleaning, someone else cooking the evening meal? I accept that that's not possible for everyone, and not everyone's in the circumstance where they're able to delegate things to others. But no matter how small, don't be afraid to ask for help. Again, I think it's something a lot of us struggle with, and I would include myself in that. Think I can do it all, and then wonder why I'm exhausted and on the verge of collapse by the end of the day. And really, it's kind of just about, you know, creating some space if you can.
It's a really interesting idea, and we seem to place a huge expectation on ourselves and possibly on our children that they should be doing something fun, educational, exciting and so on every single day of the holidays. And that's 6 weeks or more for some people. I mean, that's just unreasonable, isn't it? What happened to just being bored?
Absolutely. And I don't know about you, but I remember the summer holidays when I was young, and I was just expected to get on with it. It's, you know, my mum had to work, you know, and we had a great time. We didn't even have Netflix at that point. So, you know, it wasn't so bad. I do think the expectations piece is really critical to all of this. And think about all of those expectations you're placing on yourself and really what they're achieving. And the likelihood is they'll actually be making things worse, not better.
So far, you've talked about acceptance, so accepting when things are too much, they probably are, and then what can be taken off your plate. Can you look at a list, write down your list? Can you streamline that a bit during periods of particularly intensive stress or pressure? What about number three?
So I'd say this next one is like the bedrock of good health for almost everyone, and that's sleep. And obviously sleep when you're stressed is problematic in a number of ways, quite often because if you're, let's say you're working late, for example, then you've got a sort of a period of time where you're, it's going to be a longer time before you can get to bed, for example. Or if you're then working, then you've got children, and then there's very little time at the end of the day for you. Then again, sometimes bedtime gets pushed back. But what I would always say to people is, if you can prioritize a good night's sleep, if you do nothing else, then that's the thing to try and focus on. The thing about sleep is that if you have a bad night's sleep or not enough sleep, it impacts on everything else. So it impacts on your hormone levels, your stress levels, how hungry you feel, what kind of food you want to eat. It will also affect things like, do I want to go for a run today, or do I want to exercise today? If you're really tired, you probably aren't going to want to do that. So just some practical things to think about in terms of a good night's sleep. I'd say, again, number one, don't put too much pressure on yourself to have a good night's sleep. Conversely, that can be, you know, a real pain if you're lying in bed thinking, oh, I really need to get 8 hours sleep.
I must sleep.
Exactly. That's really unhelpful. So don't put too much pressure on yourself to have a good night's sleep. But there are a couple of things you can do that could really have a positive impact. I'd say number one, and this is the thing that I find the hardest in the evening, turn off your screens. Turn them off at least an hour before bed if you can. And guilty as charged, really bad at that. But when I do manage to do it, I feel so much more relaxed in the run up to bedtime. I do sleep better. And life somehow feels, I think just having that time disconnected is really powerful. You know, do something else instead, you know, prepare your lunch for the next day. Do a sort of 10-minute breathing exercise. You know, even if you can, if you know, you're able to, go for a walk around the block. You know, don't spend that time scrolling through social media or checking your email. I'm really conscious as well that, you know, if you're in a high stress job that does require you to be always on, that's really challenging. But I think I always used to say to my team and my boss, if there's an emergency and you need me in the evening, phone me. Don't send me an email, because I really don't want to be checking my email at 9 o'clock at night. It will just send your stress levels up. And actually, what you want to be doing towards the end of the day is getting your nervous system into a resting state, the rest and digest state, not the fight or flight state, which is going to mean that you're feeling very, very stressed up until bedtime. And that will be very difficult in terms of sleep. The other kind of thing you can think about doing, so there's a couple of, again, it's practical stuff, but magnesium is really, really helpful in terms of a good night's sleep. So a few things that have magnesium in that you could add into dinner or throughout the day. Leafy greens, almonds, avocados, and whole grains as well, full of magnesium. You can also get like a magnesium spray to put on your legs or your body before bed, or have a magnesium salt bath. That can be just a really, really nice way to bring your stress levels down and get your magnesium levels up as well. And also, I'd say create a little ritual for yourself around bedtime. It doesn't have to be anything elaborate. Just something like, okay, so before bed, I'm going to take my makeup off or do my skincare routine. I'm going to rub in a nice hand cream. I might do a pillow spray. I might try and read a bit of a book. Whatever kind of makes you feel relaxed, rather than sitting in bed with your laptop.
I'm only laughing, slightly smiling, because all of what you're saying makes total sense. Yet I am awful the moment my son goes to sleep, and we still stupidly have this thing that we eat after he's gone to bed, which, you know, as he's older, he doesn't go to bed till really late now. So then we're eating even later. And then we have this thing about, you know, our evening, which just pushes everything later. And then I decide, oh, now's a good time to do some work. And I check emails, and it's just, and then bedtime tends to be oh my God, have you seen the time? I've got to get to bed. Still doom scrolling as I'm cleaning my teeth and then finally falling into bed. But, it's far from this sort of idea of having these little rituals that you talk about, but it makes so much sense. And as you say, they're just small tweaks which could easily happen. I had this thing where I was going to try and leave my phone downstairs, charging downstairs. And I just forget, because it's such a habit that I just carry it around. I bring it upstairs and then I'm like, oh, well, now I've got the charger here, I may as well just plug it in there. Yeah, they're such small changes, but
the occasional night when I have remembered, I have genuinely had a much better quality sleep. It's so strange.
I mean, you could always, if you forget, take your phone upstairs, which I do as well, by the way, just turn it off and put it in a drawer.
Yes, there is that. Turn it off. I don't even know where the off button is.
It's funny, isn't it, how dependent we've become on our phones. And I think it's really positive to have a bit of a disconnect from that. You know, if you can do it throughout the day as well, brilliant. But if you can't, absolutely prioritize that period where you're meant to be relaxing and going to sleep.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay, so sleep. We've got the sleep memo. I'm really going to try it. I'm going to try it for the next week and see. Your next healthcare well-being point.
So another thing I think is really important, and again, we've all been there. We've all been really, really busy. We've had no time to make lunch. We've powered through to the end of the day, and then we open the fridge and we just, whatever's there, whatever's in front of us, we'll shovel it in. I say we, I'm talking about myself.
You can very much continue to use the we. Yes.
And keeping your blood sugar stable in times of stress, and just generally, actually, it has so many benefits, including a good hormonal balance, where it helps keep your hormones in balance. If your blood sugar is all over the place, then it can cause all sorts of problems, including kind of really nasty fatigue. It can make you feel very angry. It can make you feel quite down the dumps if you're not kind of nourishing your body at regular intervals and keeping yourself and your mood stable. But that's really hard, isn't it? When you're really, really busy. And again, I often see this, like if we're talking, you know, in terms of our family, we'll often prepare our family a really nice, nutritious meal. And we worry about that, I think, a lot in this day and age. What are we feeding our children? How healthy are they? You know, are they getting enough nutrients? We don't apply that same care and compassion to ourselves. And actually, there are some really, really simple and easy things you can do. Just requires a little bit of thinking, a little bit of planning. I would say, again, especially in times of stress, if it's good enough, that's great. I really would not encourage any kind of restriction or any kind of thinking about food in a kind of punishing way. My kind of attitude as a health coach is very much do what works for you and don't be too hard on yourself. You know, if you have some chocolate, I mean, my goodness, chocolate's lovely and brilliant, and we should all eat chocolate from time to time. So, you know, this isn't kind of, you know, you can only eat vegetables and nothing else. I would say just a cornerstone of each meal. And this is, you know, this is, if you can get this kind of right most of the time, this will be really helpful. So protein and healthy fat should be the cornerstone of every meal you eat. So for example, and that will really help with the blood sugar and feeling full as well, which is kind of really, really important. So for instance, if you're making a smoothie in the morning, and I would recommend, you know, from an expense point of view, but also from an ease point of view, buy frozen berries, for instance, get yourself some protein powder, use some plant milk, whiz that all together, add some nut butter into that, add a half an avocado. You know, it'll take 5 minutes or so, but that's a really, you know, that's kind of a nice chunk of your 5 a day or 10 a day or whatever it is these days at the start of the day. You can also do things like just a bowl of Greek yogurt, sprinkle some nuts on top, a little bit of maple syrup to sweeten it, some berries. Those can be really, really nice, nutritious breakfast. Take time to eat them. Don't rush through your food if you can. Even something like, you know, if you're really in a rush, you're like, oh, just there's some toast. You know, have a piece of toast, of course, have a piece of toast, sprinkle it or spread it with some nut butter, and that will kind of balance out the sort of carbs and the healthy fats and the protein in there as well. So those are just some kind of breakfast ideas. And then if I know I'm going to have a really busy week or I'm going to have a particularly stressful week, what I try and do is I'll pre-cook some veg at the weekend. So I'll roast some vegetables like peppers, sweet potato, that kind of onions, that kind of thing. And you can make a really, really easy salad bowl with that. So you just bung in some of the roasted veg, a little bit of brown rice or lentils as a base, and then your protein. So you could buy like pre-cooked salmon fillets, or you could have some marinated tofu in there, which you can buy pre-made as well. I'm all about the cheating when it comes to kind of building a healthy salad bowl, because we haven't got loads of time to spend cooking, especially during the day when you're going from meeting to meeting. But all of these things I'm talking you through, if you prepare some of it in advance, you can put that together in 5 or 10 minutes, which isn't much longer than popping over to prep to get a sandwich if you're in the office or if you're at home making a sandwich or whatever. So just think about how you can fuel yourself really, really well. And as I say, protein, healthy fat, the cornerstone, and some complex carbs, brown rice, wholemeal bread. They'll keep your blood sugar stable, your energy level stable, kind of over the course of a day.
Yes, it's really interesting. I see it myself when I am useless. I'm awful at preparing or pre-planning things. And so I'll get to kind of 2:30 and realize I haven't had lunch. So I stop, run downstairs, open the fridge, and everything in the fridge kind of needs cooking or preparing and what have you. And I just look at my watch and think, God, I haven't got time for that. And then reach for the cheese or something, or bread, as you say. And yet, because in my head, mentally, I think, oh, to eat healthily, you know, it takes a lot of time. But it's then you get into this sort of downward cycle where I then feel rubbish because I've not eaten well. And then you just think, well, today's down the toilet anyway, so I may as well just carry on with the other bad things. But it's really interesting what you just described there is, you know, super easy. And the kind of thing that if you've got a few things already waiting for you in the fridge, you can still just grab and go. So on to number five.
So number five, my last one. And this might seem like not an odd one, but it might be different to what you might have heard in the past about exercise. So I'm a great believer in the power of exercise. And again, you know, it's something that when we're time poor, we often squeeze out, or we go, actually, I'm too busy today. I can't fit it in. I would say exercise is important, but if you're really stressed, certain types of exercise, so your kind of HIIT workouts, think kind of Joe Wicks or that kind of thing. And he's brilliant. And, you know, he's done so much amazing stuff for the health of the country. But actually, in times of stress, a HIIT workout, something like that, that's very, very intense. It's short, which is great if you're busy, but it can actually raise your cortisol levels. And that's probably, when you're really stressed, that's actually the last thing that you need. So I would really encourage everyone to think about that. What exercise is going to bring that stress level down rather than spike it back up again? And there's the obvious ones. So there's yoga, but I know not everyone loves yoga. And walking is really brilliant, especially if you can get outside. Swimming as well. So think about things that are calm, going to bring you back into your body. And again, I think it's about nourishing and not punishing. And again, I think sometimes we fall into the trap of thinking, you know, I've got to be fit and strong, and I need to do, you know, all of this kind of really intense, heavy workouts. Actually, that's not true. And it could be making things worse. Again, it's all about the small things. So if you're incredibly busy, have a look in your diary and see where you've got a half an hour gap. If you're working at home, great. Go out for a walk in your local area just for that half an hour. And you'll probably find that when you come back to your desk, you're more centered, you're more calm, and you're able to actually be more effective for the rest of that day. Certainly that's true of myself. If you're in the office, again, you know, it's a great excuse to get up, get away from whatever might be happening in the office, and just have a wander around, or wherever you are, just take that opportunity, even if it's for 10 minutes, get out and have a walk, and you'll probably find you'll feel a lot less stressed, a lot calmer, and much more able to focus on the afternoon.
So true. I feel like a walking example for everything you've said, because it's funny. I wonder if I'd be really interested to know if people who do live quite a high stress life tend to naturally gravitate, therefore, to more kind of HIIT workouts, because that's what I do, gravitate to a more high stress lifestyle, I know. And I love, I cannot get on with yoga. I've tried so many times. The other week, my friend was laughing at me because I even went and bought all the gear in an attempt to kind of entice myself back to it. And it all went back to the shop. I just can't get on with yoga. But HIIT stuff, things where it's super high intensity, I just love. But I can also feel what you're saying, that especially when in times when I'm very, very busy with work or very stressed with work, I don't do it. I almost don't have that brain space. It's like all the cortisol has already been used up. But in lockdown, we got a dog. And as much as I grumble about the fact that I tend to be the one who walks him most of the time, it is one of the best things that has happened to me, because I use the dog as the excuse, but it is twice a day. He needs at least 30, 45 minutes to an hour's walk. And we're very lucky. We've got some lovely green spaces near us. So just going and walking, sometimes take a podcast or something like that and listen. But it really helps. So yeah, I suppose it's just an endorsement for everything you're saying.
The other thing you could try, Jane, and anyone else out there who's really loves that kind of HIIT workout, and that's not to say never do it, absolutely do it. If you enjoy it, please do it. Again, I'm a huge believer in doing what you enjoy. If you really hate yoga, and I know lots of people will say this, and I also think lots of people who have that kind of tendency to want, you know, that they have that kind of lifestyle where it's all go, yoga is their worst nightmare. You could try something like dance instead, because that is really joyful if you enjoy it. Obviously, if you don't enjoy it, then it's not. But it's intense, but it's intense in a different way, and it's a bit more. It's something that's social as well, so you're going to have that connection there, and it's good fun. I certainly find if I go to like a Zumba class or a dance class, I often laugh at myself because I can't do any of the moves. I'm all over the place, but I have a really good time. And I think I would say about all of this is find things that you like, both things that you like to eat, ways that you like to exercise, you know, treat yourself with compassion and with, you know, and think about what you really want as well. And that goes the same for like the sleep and everything else that I've talked about. Finding those things that you like and that you think you can stick to will be really, really beneficial.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much indeed, Claire. I am off to go and have a look in my fridge and prepare some meals for the week. Yes, look at my sleep patterns all over again. Thank you very much. So much gold in all of that.
Thank you, Jane.
I hope you enjoyed that session as much as I did. It was probably quite obvious that I was getting an awful lot of advice for myself from Claire there, but I loved her 5 points. One, the first one being around acceptance and knowing that when something really feels like it is too much, it probably is, and that's time to stop and take stock and see, as her second point was, what can be taken off your plate? What could be outsourced? What is it that you don't need to actually do? What is it that is the kind of no one's going to die or keel over if this doesn't happen? So really streamlining what it is that you have on your plate. And then sleep, so important, as Claire was talking about, and lots of lessons for myself there. Nutrition, once again, lots of lessons for myself about getting that back on track. And exercise, not always feeling like it has to be a super high intensity workout or it has to take a lot of time out of your day, but it is about carving out that time for yourselves. Thank you very much for listening. We will be back in a couple of weeks' time with the next episode. In the meantime, this month in Careering into Motherhood, we are focusing every single day throughout the month of July on the topic of resilience. So if you've enjoyed this episode, do head over to www.careeringintomotherhood.com and you will find a massive resource, all from our professional coaches, to help you build resilience, grow your resilience, and hopefully enjoy the summer.